Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest is a first-time guest. You may know her from the comedy duo Annie and Lena, or her writing for Adult Swim, amongst many other things. It's Lena Moon.
Hello. Hello. Yes, I am one half of duo Annie and Lena.
And you're like one whole of the Twitch channel Lena iMoon?
Lena Moon. I got to change it.
Whoa.
Yeah, when you climb the pyramid.
Right, you get to choose a letter to delete.
Yeah, you get to take one single letter out. Yeah. And I was like, I don't even need this one.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, great reasons to kind of keep. Hey, I've got this great offer for you that you might be interested in. It's a multi-level marketing kind of, yeah. No, anyway, that's what it always feels like.
Oils?
Oils. Leggings?
Wow.
That was one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Mm. Oil and leggings,
anyway,
I'm in.
Yeah.
Put me down for a couple.
They go so well together.
Yeah.
Our second guest this week is from Good Tucker, Question Everything, and is touring nationally now with his show Dryer Dryer. It's Soren and Jayamana.
Hello, thank you. I'm at the bottom of every pyramid I've ever, ever seen. But I like all the letters in my name, so I think it's fun.
And you got heaps.
I've got too many, actually.
Yeah, it'd be great.
It'd be too many pyramids to climb, I think, to whittle it down.
And our third guest this week, you may know from nearly every Australian comedy TV show from the last couple of decades, and her podcast, I'm the Worst, it's Claire Hooper.
Thank you. That was very generous. Also, was I allowed to talk over all the other interests?
Yeah, I said hi. So. I got excited and said hi.
I like the idea that there's rules in podcasts.
You run a tight ship.
You broke that. That's my number one rule. Everyone knows that.
No, your number one rule is no records over 5 hours.
Yes. And, you know, I've broken that rule a few times, but not today. We're actually, straight after this, we're going to record an episode of your podcast, I'm the Worst. Maybe it'll even come out around the same time. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to.
This is going out on Monday.
Well, this is going. I'll put it out on Monday then.
Holy
moly. Not even the usual day for it.
People could go back to back.
They could play it at the same time if they have two devices that will do that.
That would be awesome.
Matt, you have so much influence. I don't think Claire wants to do any of this. She didn't even know you're recording a podcast after this. Now she's releasing it on Monday.
That's right. I've set it on the record now. So, you know, what you going to do? The way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answer as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. The first question comes from listener Amanda from Bendigo here in Victoria. And the question is, what does the phrase dog in the manger mean? What does the phrase dog in the manger mean? While they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. You get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house, and I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question with the help of the question writers, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose as well. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round, which seems fair, but apparently the probability actually favours me, the house. Though I have changed rules a bit, so the final round they all get triple points and I don't. So, you know, it actually evens right out, I believe. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters And if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogonepod, which is linked in the show notes. Answers are in for question number one. What does the phrase dog in the manger mean? A barbecue sausage wrapped in a lettuce leaf and white bread? The opposite of the phrase in the doghouse. Being a dog in the manger indicates someone is pleased with you. Wanting to prevent other people from using or enjoying something simply because you cannot use or enjoy it yourself. When your most annoying uncle is coming to Christmas or a family event and will be disruptive. A bad person who inexplicably is treated like they are a messiah. Or the all too common situation when you accidentally give myrrh to a dog, inspired by the German Spitz, who was initially mistaken by the three wise men to be the messiah.
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
All too common.
I gotta stop accidentally giving dogs myrrh.
I mean, for a start, myrrh's getting so expensive.
Exactly.
As if you're going to give it to a dog.
That is the issue. It's like you see big high levels of money spent on like expensive dog food and treats and training. And I'm like, oh, when's it going to stop?
I bought you an orthopedic bed. You're not getting myrrh out of it.
But isn't it? That's so common with dog owners. They'll often, the dogs will eat better than they do.
Yeah. It's such a, like, I tell you who's eating all the myrrh, rescue greyhounds.
Are any of these sticking out to you, Soren? So you got the barbecue sausage wrapped in lettuce leaf and white bread. You got the opposite of in the doghouse. You've got preventing someone from using something because you cannot use it yourself. Annoying uncle coming over to a family event who you know will be disruptive. Bad person who's treated like messiah. Or the all too common situation of accidentally giving myrrh to a dog.
I mean, the first two sound the most likely to me. I reckon it is. I really like the dog. It's the opposite of dog in the house. In the doghouse. So, but also I feel like dog in the manger, that maybe there's some rhyming slang with that.
Ooh.
You know,
for the sausage.
Yeah.
Except that it's also like nothing rhymes with manger.
Yeah.
It's really tricky rhyming.
No,
it's like pig in a blanket is a hot dog in a pancake or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
What?
No. So it could be.
I forget there's a it is. Food expert on.
No, I'm not a food expert. I just. That's not right. Dog in a pancake?
Yeah. Is that not right? I shouldn't have
had a stab at
it. I knew it was something.
Yeah. Just like that classic.
Is dog in a pancake? Is pig in a blanket a little sausage wrapped in bacon, though?
Okay.
Is that what a pig in a blanket is?
I thought it was pastry, but it could be bacon.
Oh, yeah. I believe toad in the hole is.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Toad in the hole. Pancakes, isn't that pastry? Egg and bread?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but there's sausages involved, I thought.
And it all, basically, these are all in the same genre of food where it's an animal in a thing.
and the thing's usually comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm making assumptions about the hole.
You've convinced me. I'm going to say dog in the manger
is a comfortable hole.
It's a hot dog wrapped in a pancake. Well, whatever, what's the option?
sausage wrapped in lettuce.
Lettuce, yeah, let's go. Dog in the manger.
All right. Look at that, Saran.
I like that second one, but it's too good.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm trying to, because I'm like, I've definitely heard the phrase before. What does it mean? But it's like the opposite of
in the doghouse.
In the doghouse. It's too convenient, but it still sounds right, doesn't it? The dog in the, like, your dog. Get out of the manger.
Yeah.
You don't belong in the manger. Yeah. I guess it's the myrrh one. All right, no.
You going with myrrh?
No, I'm not going with myrrh. I can't afford myrrh. All right. This is really hard. Okay, I'll go with the second one. I feel the energy when I say the second one. I feel the energy in the room of somebody who wants me to say the second one. I feel it. And yet I don't know. I can't remember any of the other ones now.
So you're locking in the second one?
But you're
assuming the energy is one of us two. It could be who wrote the question.
Yeah. I feel like you're doing it.
No,
for
I
the
feel like it's Seren. Damn it.
Yeah, but I don't know. You could be doing it for the people that feel it does feel like the most logical one. Are we allowed to pick the same ones?
Yeah, you can pick the same if you want.
But would a manger be a good place to be?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Isn't it where the baby lies?
Yeah, there's a lot of straw and farm animals.
Yeah, but
that's pretty nice.
It's the only bed.
Yeah, that's
out of everyone.
We're talking about the manger. Yeah, from okay.
Imagine you know, being there. It's got a historical that, place.
Yeah. Yeah. The manger, man.
Some listeners might not know that's where Jesus is from.
Yeah. I barely know that. I grew up with in a yoga cult, so I barely know that, and I only know it from that one hot track, Away in a Manger.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm going to go with this. The second option seems like the kind of the worded in a way that someone has sat down and written it. Oh no, I've been tricked.
We've both been tricked. Yeah. I feel so sure of it.
But that, I mean, that would be the case either way, you know, the dictionary guy sat down and wrote it or one of us.
Yeah. But that's like the move, right? If you're writing in, you make it sound like.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that's a tip for you for the, mate, for the next few rounds.
Can we try use it in a sentence then to, so like, is there anything that your partner would ever have done where you're like, well, that was so good. You're a dog in the manger.
And I would say you're a dog in the manger and not other sentences when you try like to that use was it excellent.
Yeah, it really does feel less likely when you try to use it in a sentence.
You look like the cat that got the cream, you dog in the manger.
Yeah, I mean, the part of me really wants to pick the mer one just for, you know, fun.
Just for lols.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the mer one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm changing my mind.
I wish I could remember more.
There's the mer one, the bad person, inexplicably treated like Messiah, annoying uncle coming over.
I'm saying
for
the bad person
event.
Inexplicably treated like the Messiah. Oh, later and I'll be spewing if it's.
Yeah. Let's just keep changing them until he says what it is.
Lock it in, Matt Stewart. We knew it.
We locking it in?
Yeah.
All right. Here's who wrote the answers.
Oh, good grief. I forgot how awful this game
Mine
is.
Mine was so bad. Mine was so bad.
Being the opposite of the phrase in the doghouse, that was written by Amanda, aka the house.
Okay, we did it.
So you've given Amanda a real rollercoaster listening at home. She's sitting in Bendigo going, oh my God.
I did it. I
2 points.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Then we had the annoying uncle coming over being disruptive. That was Lena Moon.
That was so
that's
bad.
A really good
one. Oh,
was
good. Okay. Okay.
To me, that makes a lot of sense. It's a very specific saying and that's a specific thing. And you didn't be foolish enough to say the all too common situation, although yours was much more common than the... dog accidentally being given myrrh, which Soren wrote.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because how did you...
Is that
you...
what ruined it? The all too common? Nah.
I think that was...
It's always an extra detail I add that it just doesn't need it.
That was the bit that took it over the edge of far-fetched. So that's a point to Soren there. Claire went for a bad person who inexplicably is treated like the Messiah. That was the house.
Good
house. So you switched from one house to the other.
It's okay.
Soren, though, went for yours, a barbecue sausage wrapped in a lettuce leaf and white bread.
But to be fair, you could call it that.
Yeah.
I will.
So in a way,
you
know what? If you eat that a few times before this pod comes out and call it that every time, then you have just made it correct.
Yeah. You'll have to let me know before the edit goes out.
It's going
to
end up in the Women's Weekly. Like,
yeah.
It feels like a real Women's Weekly.
Next to the sausage in a pancake.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why I think that.
Like
what was
keys
it called?
And jelly.
Pig in a blanket.
All right. I should, because there will be listeners yelling at their iPods at the moment. It does look like it is a little sausage wrapped in...
In pastry?
Pastry.
Does it have a little bit of bacon in between?
Oh.
Doesn't matter.
Bacon.
Does. Not, I must be thinking, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
This is very unrelated, but I have a crazy reference for pigs in blankets because in Charmed, when Piper and everyone go evil in one episode... Piper turns someone into pigs in blankets, and it's literally pigs wearing blankets. I assumed up until this point that the food was a rotisserie pig in a blanket because of that episode of Charmed. So it is amazing to learn that there is pastry involved.
Can you imagine how funny you would have found it if you'd known it was like a quirky take on pigs in blankets? But you were just like, oh wow, it seems silly to cook it in a perfectly good blanket that you could then use on your bed. But
yeah, that would have made more sense.
It's sort of, now that I think of it, it probably gets a good temperature for like a slow.
Yeah, how dare
over,
they trick
over
me
12
like
hours?
Yeah, slow roast
in the duvet.
Okay, yeah. Claire. So Saran's version is the American. The British and Irish one is small sausages wrapped in bacon.
Oh, my goodness, I did it. did it.
And they're also known as kilted soldiers.
Well, that's lovely.
For a second that's there, adorable. I thought you were talking about dog in the manger. And you were like, in America, it actually does refer to the time.
A lettuce sausage. Okay, so after one round, we've got Claire on 1 point. We've got the house on 1 point and Saran on 1 point.
Hang on, what was a dog in the manger?
Oh, you want me to finish the... I'm not very good at this. The correct answer was wanting to prevent other people from using or enjoying something simply because you cannot use or enjoy it yourself. Apparently it goes back to a fable where a cow disturbs a dog who's sleeping on the hay and the cows want to eat the hay. Dogs are carnivores. They can't eat the hay, but the dog stops the cows.
Got it. Wow.
Where does the manger come in?
I guess the hay is in the manger.
Okay. Yeah, a manger isn't, like, it actually wasn't invented for sleeping babies in. Yeah. It was for eating hay out of.
Yeah.
That's why it's full of hay.
It's like a trough.
It's like on that episode of Charmed.
Honestly, the like, Bible and Charmed.
I'm going to turn you into mangers. And you were like, well, they've got blankets.
So. Oh, I see another fan.
Yes, thank you for pulling me up on that. Here is question number 2. This one comes from Lisa T, who says they're currently in Brisbane. Doesn't want to be too specific, obviously. Lisa's question is, which one of these is a real species of frog? So you just got to come up with a fake frog species. You don't have to give it a description or anything, just its name. And while you're writing your answers, here's some more info on the dog in the manger. Amanda writes, it's said to be an Aesop's fable. Dog in a manger tells the story of a dog laying on hay who is disturbed by cows. The dog snarls at the cows, preventing them from eating the hay, of which the dog cannot. The term dog in a manger was also used by Frank Clunes in his 1955 book Overland Telegraph to describe the British attitude towards the Northern Territory of Australia in the early 19th century, whereby a small colony was established at Port Essington without any further plans to develop the region. The British just wanted to claim the north of Australia so that no one else could. They were really acting like a bloody dog in the manger. If you know what I mean, which now you do.
Wow, I'm so surprised hearing all of that, that it's not more commonly used. It's just so shocking to hear that it's not just like casual vernacular at this point. Wow.
Yeah, I'd never heard it. Had you two had never heard it?
Absolutely
You'd
not.
Heard it
Yeah,
vaguely.
I'd heard it. I'd just forgotten what it meant.
Yeah, because I mean... It's just not common enough, right? I mean,
but
it was in that
1955. It feels like something people do. It feels like a thing that people do.
I'm going to
totally
figure out what
it
means
back.
By next time.
Okay.
No, yeah. But I think we've changed it today. It's lettuce, bread, sausage.
Yeah, I mean, it's your Bunnings saucy sizzle, but with a nice big piece of iceberg in between.
Yeah, which is
which
the
is
hay.
Actually great.
Is that it's the idea?
Yes.
Yeah. And your hand is the manger. So they... Is that what's a manger? No, I'm joking.
What is the
hand is Bethlehem. The bread is thank you. The bread is the stable. The lettuce is the manger.
Yes, there we
and
go.
And the sausage
oh, the
is the
lettuce
dog.
Is the manger. Gotcha.
Bunnings yeah. is the is the people asking Joseph to return to Bethlehem for the synopsis or whatever. Not synopsis. What did he have to go with? The census? Oh God, what
yeah,
a start
it was
talking
the
there.
Census.
Which makes no sense. Because the census is all about where you are, not going back to where you were born.
I guess in the old days, you came
they
to
did
the census.
Different back then.
Census
yeah.
didn't come to you.
I can feel myself infuriating Bible understanders. They're like, that's not the point of the story. The census was something else.
Yeah, it's probably...
Sorry, I was... Just I started staring at him.
Claire stared me down, and she knew that my the little bit of self confidence I had vanished in seconds. There wasn't much. Well, it looks like the answers are in for question number 2. Which one of these is a real species of frog? Sinking droop.
Wow.
Red footed bark frog. Great Rodney Marsh frog.
Cute. Should I commentate all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
A pobble bonk.
Love it.
Quirky boys. Or southern borogong blue. So you got sinking droop, red footed bark frog, great Rodney Marsh frog, pobble bonk, quirky boys, southern borong blue.
I like the southern borogong one.
All right, locking that in for Saran. That
sounds real.
What? Say it again.
Oh, do you want me to say it or him to say it? Because we said it differently.
It was probably funnier from Saran.
Southern Borrogong Blue.
Yeah.
See, that sounds plausible to me.
Yeah, I would accept that as a frog or a cow or a cheese species.
Ooh.
Species of cheese. You made cheese sound less delicious.
Yeah, you made it sound like a task.
Where does cheese come from?
I would like it to be a pobble bonk, please.
Okay, looking in pobble bonk for Claire.
It's only going to be silly.
Mm. I mean, these are all pretty silly.
Why would anyone write in with, that's true. They're all silly.
Because quirky boys feels like I'm being baited. It feels like I'm being baited.
Yeah, maybe a bit too. But it could be like one of those things where it's like, oh, Tasmania's CSIRO found this cute frog and the residents of Tasmania are going to vote on it. Yeah. Is it going to be Froggy McFrog Face or is quirky it going to be Quirky Boys?
I know what I'd vote for. Imagine being like the quirky boys are spawning.
I'd call it a kilted soldier.
Oh, beautiful. Ooh.
Somebody should have put that down for a frog name.
But probably you, I imagine.
Somebody should have.
Okay, I'm going to go with the first one.
Sinking droop.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess so. Again, like we've said, they're all real to me. They all exist.
And the first one you heard is the most real.
It's yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was the first one I pictured.
Okay.
So you've all locked in there. So this is who wrote the answers. I'd say if any of them weren't that ridiculous, it would have been the red-footed bark frog. But even that's pretty silly. And that was Lena Moon.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Are the feet like bark? Or do they like to be on bark?
Actually bark frogs. Right. I think there are frogs that look like
it's
bark.
It's the sound that they make, right?
Oh, yeah, they stand out in the reeds like and just
like a dog in the
manger.
No,
but some of them look like bark. They look like bark on trees.
I'm keen to look them up.
People are really red feet.
Yeah, yeah. Frog people are like they always chat about their feet. Like so many of them are like the blue footed or the. They're creeps. Honestly, I feel like they're constantly talking about frogs' feet. Not to kink shame. You can like what you like.
The great Rodney Marsh frog. That was Saran.
Oh, it's very good. Very good.
Yeah. Naming it after a person.
I was thinking that you might. Yeah, that Bodie McBoatface thing.
That might have got us there, yeah.
Yeah.
Quirky Boys, that was the house.
Oh, was it?
Well done.
You don't say.
So sorry for... Is that what you call gaslighting? Me writing down an answer like that? I don't think I fully understand.
Yeah. Whatever benefits me right now, I think.
Well, unfortunately, the sinking droop, which you went for, was written by Lisa, aka the house.
Lisa, I'm going to find you.
Sinking droop.
The magical mind of Lisa. It's a dark
place.
Well,
she might be in Brisbane.
Yes.
Currently.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Then we had the... Southern Borrogong Blue, which Saran went for. That was Claire Hooper.
Well done.
Oh my God, I got you again.
Yeah.
And Claire, you also got the correct answer. Pobblegonk. Pobblegonk. Pobblebonk. Oh no.
Pobblebonk. That's because I knew it.
Oh.
Ah.
You've heard of Pobblebonk.
I've heard of the Pobblebonks and they're called Pobblebonk because they go like this. Pobblebonk.
Yeah.
That's like the noise they make in the pond.
So bark frog couldn't. No, I wasn't far off.
Yeah, you won't.
Could denote the sound.
Oh, frogs make some crazy screams,
quirky
dude.
Quirky boys?
Yeah, they make some crazy
quirky
screams.
Quirky All right, two rounds down. Lena's on zero, Saran's on one, House on two, but out in front on 3 points, it's Claire Hooper.
Oh, dear.
Now, we're on to question number three. Did you have a story behind the Southern Borrogong Blue?
No, I was just thinking of the corroboree frog, and I'm like, just give it a good little, a nice little three syllable with lots of R's.
Borrogong That's all it was. Blue. Yeah, Borrogong Blue, it's fantastic. Thank it really
you.
Does.
Thank you.
I'm like, I would eat that cheese. I would ride that cow. You know what? I'd look at that frog.
Yeah. So all of those just sound like activities you do regardless.
only if they're specifically named Southern Borrogong Blue. Next one comes from Edward from Canberra. Question number three is, what is the name of track 6 on Weird Al Yankovic's 1992 album Off the Deep End? And what song does it parody? Any song, you all know Weird Al, 92. So Yeah. Ideally a song from before 92. Oh,
I know, that's really hard.
It goes a ways back. While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about the Pobble Bonk. According to Wiki, I mean, this is just as Claire said, they're called the Pobble Bonk for its distinctive bonk call, which is likened to a banjo string being plucked. They're also known as the Eastern or Southern Banjo Frog and Bullfrog. And there are five subspecies, each with a different skin coloration. Jeez, I wonder if there is a blue Pobble Bonk. And they're all native to Eastern Australia. Here is question number three. What is the name of track six on Weird Al Yankovic's 1992 album Off the Deep End? Gonna Pay Off Your Debt, parodying Gonna Make You Sweat by CNC Music Factory. Fan
choice.
Fan of the Goon, parodying REM's Man on the Moon. The White Stuff, parodying The Right Stuff by New Kids on the Block.
Whoa, that's not okay, is it?
Novocaine Us, parodying Entertain Us by Nirvana. Hey Prude, parodying Hey Jude by the Beatles. Or Everybody Burps, parodying Everybody Hurts by REM.
I'm just going to get up on that now. I don't want to think about it.
Everybody
I want
Burps.
Yeah. I like that too. He's pretty innocent most of the time. Yes. Lyrics, aren't they? Like,
And often food related.
Yeah.
Mm. So funny. I don't care if it's a trick. Because
you can hear it, can't you?
Everybody Burps.
I can hear
it
now.
And then you just go through every single thing in your sound library that sounds like a burp. Oh. What a great time you have.
That'd be great fun. I mean, if that's not the real answer, Lena, maybe that's one you can have.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I will be writing it.
That could be, you know, for your genuinely, what do you get up to on Twitch? Is this the kind of thing you do?
It absolutely is. Yep. It absolutely is. Anything is content, and anything that I don't have to think of that I can execute very easily without much effort, that's my life.
You get your followers to send in their burps.
Yeah. I shouldn't admit to this, but one of the fart sound effects on my streams is my own fart.
That's authentic. That's why people love what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
They connect.
They get, and like, they don't know, but they know.
Yeah.
You know, like they hear it and they're like,
they feel the authenticity.
Yeah.
That one came from her.
But when you meet them in person, they really feel like they know you.
Yeah,
right?
they're like, you know,
hang on, so you said one of them. How many do you have?
One.
Okay. What are you thinking here, Lena?
I mean, I really want it to be Everybody Burps because it just writes itself. Mm. Well, the other ones are very good as well. The other thing is, like, it feels like New Kids on the Block or, like, these artists that I'm kind of not thinking about as much anymore feel like they're probably going to be more likely the answer. You know,
right.
Sorry to anyone in the room that might be still thinking about New Kids on the Block as their Roman Empire. But like, yeah, I don't know. It feels like, and this is me trying to win the game and not being entertaining. This is why you don't bring
both,
a gamer
you
on
can do
to
both.
A. Yeah, that's
you're doing
true.
It.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, what was the New Kids on the Block? Oh, it was the horrible one.
The White Stuff.
Yeah.
The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, you
but
don't
is
know
he
the
talking
context.
About
that's true.
Race or cocaine?
Or cum. Sorry.
So they're the first three that you're thinking of. It doesn't say. There's no more information than that. It
probably wouldn't be the
but
one
but if it
I
is
said.
The real one, I would explain further.
Those are the big threes when you think of White Stuff, though. It is. Well, every time I think about it, that's the order. Race, cocaine, and then cum.
And then milk.
Milk,
yeah, yeah.
Salt.
Well, that's because I'm allergic
sort of
to
the secondary,
lactose intolerant.
Secondary White Stuffs.
Maybe if I wasn't lactose intolerant, milk would be high.
White flour.
No, very rarely.
No, that's
that takes
obscure.
You back to cocaine. So
yeah.
Do you want Serena to pick one while you're thinking?
Yeah. Look, I'm just gonna. What was the first one again?
Gonna pay off your debt instead of gonna make you sweat.
See, that feels very weird, Al, because that feels like we're in bad. I'm just gonna answer the question. I'll just go for number one.
Okay.
I want Everybody Burps as well because when we sang it before, it felt right, and Evan was at the door suddenly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah
I
Evan
think,
was like,
yeah.
I think it does feel like the right one. Yeah. I'm scared.
Also, there were two REMs in there.
Feels like the right one or
it
the
feels like
the
right
white
answer.
One.
Yeah.
That's something we could parody this right now.
Yeah. It is. Well, what's the song?
Oh, Fan of the Goon. That could work as well.
Fan of the goon.
Yeah, no, now that feels...
Everybody Burps is parodying Everybody Hurts.
Which...
Hey Prude is parodying Hey Jude. Novocainus parodying Entertainus. White Stuff, Right Stuff. Fan of the Goon, Man on the Moon. Gonna pay off your debt. Gonna make you sweat.
I'm gonna go for the Entertainus one, actually. Okay. I'm changing my answer. All right,
locking that in for Lena.
Nirvana.
Mm. So what did you go through? Did you go Burps?
Saran's gone Burps. All right.
Here's, we both went Burps, babe.
It's pretty convincing.
It's just really good.
Yeah. This is who wrote the answers. Gonna pay off your debt. That was The House.
Ooh.
I also have the advantage. I did a Google of 1990 songs before, and that brought that one back to my mind. I would just pick the longest one.
It's really funny.
I'm like, I can figure something out.
But
it's so dull. I thought, what a funny parody song. I'm going to pay off your debt.
Just do you a favour. Yeah.
Fan of the Goon, which Saran seemed to be keen on before, was written by Saran.
Oh, good fake.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, nearly worked.
Thought I'd sing it.
Hey Prude, parodying Hey Jude. That was Lena. I can see that one.
Oh, well, yeah. Right. Is it possible you don't know your 90s music? Well, he said before 1991.
He does throwbacks. He definitely does.
Yeah, I thought maybe he's like, you know, you listen to the radio, he's like, oh, I should do this one and it'll be for the parents.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that could have been back for other reasons, you know.
Also, couldn't think of anything else.
No.
Yeah. So,
Novocainus, which Lena went for, that was Claire Hooper.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
No, it was really good. It was really good.
You can picture it though, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Maybe he did write that one.
I think he did a Nirvana one.
Yep, he did.
He'd have to have done a Nirvana one.
Entertainus is, that smells like Teen Spirit, right?
Yeah, it's not called Entertainus.
And I'm pretty sure he did do a parody of that.
He did. That's why I was confused. Yeah, I was like, it's
he
something.
He did, didn't he?
He did.
In that striped shirt and the, anyway, you're looking it up, aren't you?
Yeah, it feels
smells like Nirvana. It was called
what?
Oh. It was about them being stinky.
That makes sense.
That's why I was like, this feels right.
Everybody,
maybe that's what the Stinky Boys one's called.
Everybody Burps. Which Claire answer I went for? That was Edward, the question writer.
Edward,
oh, well the house. Done,
Ed. 100%.
It's so good.
You deserve that, Edward.
Yeah.
And I think I'm guessing.
So it was the White Stuff?
It was the White Stuff.
It's not okay.
It was about the cream in Oreos.
Oh. Great. It is always innocent and about food.
That is, yes, okay, so
but
that's about
only the sixth white thing.
So I think Claire got a point there. House got 2 points.
Wow.
And I lost a lot. I lost more than just the question, I think.
We're up to question number four. This one comes from Andriana Ginoldi from Rome in Italy. And she spelled her name out phonetically because it looks like Andriana, but I think she knows that I would say it wrong. So she's written it out with about 30 letters. Andriana from Rome. And Andriana's question is, which of the following sentences did Bob Ross say on the show The Joy of Painting? You know Bob Ross?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know. He's got like afro hair and he sort of paints. But apparently it's just a sentence. It's a bit of fun at some point. So you just have to say a thing he said.
Oh, my God. We can't guarantee he didn't say all the things we're going to say.
That's true.
Yeah, how do you fact check that?
I don't. I should have. Now that you say it, I haven't. I've fully trusted Andriana. But yeah, no, you're right. You might all come up with something. But you're going to say such quirky things. The odds are he wouldn't have said it, surely. We'll see. While you're writing your answers, according to Edward, the white stuff refers to the white stuff in the middle of an Oreo, not what you might be thinking. The chorus goes, oh, 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 Oreo, oh, 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 the white stuff. I haven't sung this in tune. Oh, 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 Oreo. What's in the middle? The white stuff. That's good. That's Wise the King. And while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, we're back. Here is question number four. Which of the following did Bob Ross say on his show, The Joy of Painting? The beauty of art is that it's never too late to start, unless you're trying to paint a sunset. There's nothing wrong with having a tree as a friend.
Great.
Let's see that hack Mr. Squiggle try and do that.
Cute.
The great thing about painting is you have to lick your fingers when you're done. To paint like an artist, you must see like a child. Or, my name is Matt Stewart, and I like to do this dance. Boopsy boop, la la la, be boop.
That one. I choose that one.
You choose that one. It makes sense. Why
she
would
stop trying?
No, but also that would be why Andriana would bring this to your attention.
Yeah, exactly. What are the odds of that? My name is Matt Stewart, and I like to do this dance. Boopsy boop, la la la, be boop.
He did. He painted famously for hours, right? Like it was an everlasting. Yeah. He'd run out of things to say.
I'm so sorry. Oh, great. How many questions are there?
There's seven.
We're only halfway through.
No, we're on the back stretch here. We're on the back stretch.
My point is, where's she going to go from here?
So, Claire, you want to lock that one in?
No. I think we've established that it's the best answer, but probably not the right one. I can't remember how wacky he was, and I'm just going to go with the sunset level wacky. Okay?
Sunset, okay.
Because it's a bit wacky, but it's not lick your fingers wacky.
Yeah. And it made you say cute, I think. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that was your automatic
Claire
reaction.
Said that for most of them.
Yeah, I did say cute a couple of times.
Cute.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, lick your fingers. Cute.
Cute.
What was the child one?
To paint like an artist, you must see like a child.
Yeah. That feels right.
I like that. I'm going to lock that in.
What was the second one, please?
The second one was, there's nothing wrong with having a tree as a friend.
Oh, no, not that one.
That one sounds like Bob Ross parody to me, though. Because right. It's sort of like, he's always talking about little friends. That's like the one kind of thing that I know.
Did he have some sort of, like, maybe he had a tree, you know, on the studio set? And
Yes, I remember this. I think the tree's name was Matt Stewart.
he had a bit of a dance. And yeah, Bob Ross voiced him. That's why he would often say... We're all losing it. It's catching.
I'm so sorry.
So you're going to stick with the sunset?
I can't. Yes.
So you got sunset, tree friend, Mr. Squiggle, licking your fingers, singing like a child, or bootsy boop, la la, be boop.
Was that a good rendition of the song, Lena?
Yeah.
That's everything I'd ever hoped for. I mean, I didn't write that one.
Yeah, I'm fine. Put the joke. Yeah, go with a little joke.
Okay, so I went the child.
I'm going with that one as well.
The child?
Yeah.
All right, great. Here's who wrote the answers. This one might shock you. My name's Matt Stewart and I like to do this dance. Boopsy boop, la la la, be boop. That was Lena.
What?
Wasn't
you
it?
You could have guessed.
Me fooled.
Let's see that hack Mr. Squiggle try do that. That was Saran.
Real good. Feud. They were famously feuding.
The great thing about painting is you have to lick your fingers when you're done. That was Andriana. Okay, the house.
Yeah, great.
Andriana also did the one about the sunset.
Oh, no.
It's to paint like an artist, you must see like a child. Saran and Lena went for that was Claire Hooper. The correct answer is there's nothing wrong with having a tree as a friend.
And we nearly got there.
Yeah,
guys.
You worked it out, Lena. I thought. No,
it's like, that sounds like parody because that's his thing. It's like tree friends.
It almost sounds like word for word what he'd say, like a parody.
It's exactly a sentence that would come out of his mouth.
So that's 2 points. To Claire and another point to the house.
When I found out that I didn't get that point, I think I just said, Fie. Did I? You'll have to play back.
Fie.
Were you trying to self-censor?
It's very Shakespearean curse.
Mm.
Okay, so you weren't like about to say a cuss word.
No, no.
Caught it. Oh, so no, just, where did it come from?
I don't know.
Fi.
We have. Oh. Yeah. You were reading the energy in the room earlier. Has it changed?
What?
Because it feels
more Shakespearean in here now.
Yeah, and yeah. Everyone's lost the plot.
Yeah.
All right, we're up to question number five. We've
got everyone.
Three questions left.
Lena still yet to score. I can feel Lena getting a point real soon. Soren's on 1 point. He came out hot with a score in the first round. House is now in second place on 5 points. Claire leapt to the lead on 6 points.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's question number five. This one comes from Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbour in New York State. And the question is, what happened in Osaka, Japan on the 16th of October, 1985? What happened in Osaka, Japan, the 16th of October, 1985? While you're writing your answers, here's some more info about Bob Ross. According to Andriana, Bob Ross was an American painter and television personality whose popular PBS TV show, The Joy of Painting, was made between 1983 and 1994, made him a household name in America as the painting teacher to the masses. Ross enlisted at age 18 for the U.S. Air Force and took his first painting class while stationed in Alaska in the early 1960s. Ross projected a lovable hippie persona, sporting a permed afro and denim shirt and jeans, and a soothing and intimate speaking voice that made the viewer feel as if it were a personal one-on-one painting session. Over the years, his folksy approach and references to happy little trees and clouds endeared him further to his fans. Ross painted an estimated 30,000 paintings during his lifetime, and despite the unusually high supply of original paintings, Bob Ross originals are scarce on the art market, with sale prices of paintings averaging in the thousands of dollars and frequently topping 10 grand. 30,000 paintings. They all are pretty much the same painting, I think. But I'm not sure if I've seen the parodies or the real ones. All right, question number five. Answers are in. What happened in Osaka, Japan on the 16th of October, 1985? The first Nintendo console was released. To promote and release the film Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox drove around the streets in a DeLorean.
Oh.
The sushi train was invented. Initial prototypes did not take off, however, as they were life-size. And if you miss the onigiri, it would... is that how you say it?
Onigiri.
I think so.
And if you miss the onigiri, it would take quite a long time for the train to come back to your station. Sorry to laugh at that. It's believed the ghost of Colonel Sanders...
Colonel Saunders, who specializes in states.
Yeah. It's believed the ghost of Colonel Sanders cursed a baseball team. A hot dog eating competition based on the famous annual Coney Island competition began. It was meant to become an annual event, but the winning entrant died the evening afterwards and the event was never held again. Female flavored chicken feet went on sale.
Female
flavored.
So is the flavouring female or is the
female?
Or are the feet female?
Are they female chicken feet that are flavoured?
I think
yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm like, it doesn't really makes more sense if the feet are female.
Oh, 100%.
But it still doesn't really make sense.
People have tried.
Yeah, how could you pin down?
There's quite a few there that I want to be true. Mm-hmm. You know, like where I'm like, oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm not an expert on Japanese cuisine, but chicken feet are not a thing.
Right.
Are they?
I think that's more Chinese.
That's a Chinese thing, right?
And I don't think they're female flavored.
But that, I mean, like, that extraordinary detail is what makes me, like, want it to be true.
The Japanese, they are good at taking something someone else has done and refining it.
Adding an appropriate flavor.
Yeah, because it's probably just sugar and spice and everything nice.
Yes, that is the flavor of a female. Yeah.
So, yeah, the other, there's two other food ones. Hot dog eating competition that ended badly, or the sushi train, which initially was a life-size train.
I mean, like, the Nintendo one's good, but it's such a, like, full stop.
Mm.
You're like, why would that be?
It would just be a fact.
Yeah, remind me again who the questioner was, who sent it in.
Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbour, New York.
Oh, yeah, I
it
know
feels
him.
Like...
He's a pretty abrupt guy.
Yeah. He's to the point.
Cool. cool.
And I should say there is no full stop on the end of that sentence.
Okay. Well, that
sort of trails off.
That was very suspicious. Because all events in the past have a full stop at the end of them. Especially ones from 1985. I can't remember when Back to the Future was
I feel like
released,
it was,
but it feels so right.
it
doesn't it?
It does. Yeah,
it does feel so right.
The DeLorean thing feels...
What a great thing to do.
Was the first movie...
Why would they bother doing it in Osaka, though? They could do it anywhere they want. Why would they go all the way there with a DeLorean?
Well, they might have done it in multiple places.
The thing about that is like, was the movie... exciting when it first happened, or was it like, did people love it after they saw it? Are people going,
like, why is he driving that old
like,
car?
What is it? Who's this guy? Like, do we care yet, or do we have to see it to care?
I don't know if you know how publicity works.
I don't. I do not.
It works heaps
better before the thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. But you know how you go to those events where you've like won tickets from the radio and it's like the launch of a movie and it's like, this is sad. People aren't hyped for this. But then they see the movie. I understand how it works.
But Michael J. Fox was already a thing, right, before Back to the Future?
Yeah, it was family ties.
Yeah.
Cruising around. He was a busy man.
Yeah.
And, I think, he did that and Teen Wolf at the same time as Family Ties.
Okay,
fair.
That answers my question.
Yeah, I think people would have been hyped.
You're right.
It was released 15th of August 1985.
Hey, are you allowed to tell us that?
It feels like you just gave us the answer.
Well, I mean, it is...
Same year?
It's 2 years before, though. 2 years. But it's 2 months before. 2 months later, he did the Osaka thing.
That makes sense. They could have been releasing it in Japan later.
Well, they do have different release dates, right?
Yeah.
Back then, I feel like movies took ages to get to.
Yeah, to ship them over.
Put them on a life-size sushi train.
Yeah.
Put them on the same boat as the DeLorean. That's efficient.
Exactly.
Pretty sure the DeLorean.
Nintendo, Back to the Future, Sushi Train, Colonel Sanders' Curse.
Oh, yeah, that's
Hot Dog Eating Comp, female-flavored chicken feet. Yeah.
So it was rumored to have been... A curse, or was it actual?
Well, no, it was like that. It says there was a curse, but I don't know if you can definitively say that Colonel Sanders.
What would Colonel Sanders have against the Osaka baseball team?
Great question.
In a way, a curse is a rumor.
It's the ghost of
Colonel kind of messing with people's heads.
It's the ghost of Colonel Sanders as well. So
yeah, I really I like the baseball connection because that's a big Osaka thing.
Locking
and I mean,
it
they
in?
Do. No, I already locked mine in.
Oh, did you? Where did you go?
I wanted to be Back to the Future.
Okay, great.
And you know what? If you tell me I'm wrong, I am going to, like Lena, split off into an alternate universe where it is correct.
Okay.
I'm going to go with baseball because I don't understand how publicity works.
Remind me again the.
Nintendo, Back to the Future, Sushi Train, Colonel Sanders' Curse, Hot Dog Eating Comp that ended badly, or female-flavored chicken feet.
Look, just to be different, I'm going to go with the hot dog competition.
Locking that in. Here's who wrote the answers. The first Nintendo console was released. That was Lena Moon.
Oh, yeah. It was a good one.
Get a gamer in the room.
You should have put a full stop on the end, and then I would have believed it.
I didn't realize I was going to get caught out for being too succinct
and punctuation shamed.
It's a real swing from the Matt Stewart oobdy doobdy doobdy doo answer.
I'm always going to keep you guessing.
The sushi train that was full size, that was Saran.
Oh, that's beautiful, mate. I can't believe you could think of that.
couldn't see it.
But yours really do have like a beauty to them.
I've played this game a lot.
Female-flavored chicken feet, that was Jim, aka The House.
Okay.
So unfortunately, it's the only one that we can't have explained in the room because... What did you mean, Jim?
What
please,
did you mean?
Please tag us in a post. Actually, Claire doesn't have social media, but we'll pass it on.
Thanks, let me know.
Hot dog eating competition based on the famous Coney Island competition. Saran went for that. It was Claire Hooper.
I'm so sorry.
I pick yours every time.
No, you are in his head, Claire.
It's the history edition.
Something's got to be in there.
There's
a picture of Claire's head in your head. Just says, owned by. Back to the Future being promoted. Claire went for that. That was The House.
It was very good.
I was trying to put you off by giving you the date, but
why would you put me off?
Well, as it turned out, I put you further on, didn't I? Yeah, I'm like, it was 2 months later, but you're like, that sounds about right. I'm like, okay. that means Lena is on the board. It's correct.
Yes.
The ghost of Colonel Sanders cursed a baseball team.
Wow, you really tried to help me get that one too.
I did, yeah.
Why do you want me to succeed?
I don't know, I want everyone to succeed.
Okay. Do you though?
Yeah.
You could just tell us the answer.
Yeah. This could just be a chat about cool things.
You don't have to. It is an uncomfortable part of it where I won last week and I'm like, okay, well, thanks for coming. I beat you all. Thanks for stopping by. So
that's awesome.
Point to Claire, point to The House. And
Claire?
A point to Lena.
Of course.
Yes. She's on the board.
How does it feel?
It feels extremely validating because I basically stole what you said about it because you were like, that's a very Osaka thing. And I was like, I'm gonna do that one now.
Great intel.
So okay. It feels like the fraudulent life I've always lived.
So Beautiful. You're in her head too. This is real devious stuff.
Her head was powerful. Mm-hmm. A powerful mind.
I wish it was true.
All right, second last question. Okay. This one comes from Megan Seeler from Merrill, Wisconsin in the USA. The question is, what was the strange name of the local dentist serving Pickaway, Ohio from 1922 through to 1946? He's not a famous dentist or anything. He just has an unusual name. So you just got to give this guy a name, an unusual name.
Sorry, can you say most of that again?
what was the strange name of the local dentist serving Pickaway, Ohio, a town in Ohio, from 1922 to 1946? He's a guy with a funny name or an unusual name. And while your answers are being written, here's some more info on the Colonel Sanders curse. Got in a gym, the curse occurred, and the curse occurred as well after Hanshin Tigers fans threw a statue of Colonel Sanders into a canal. Canal. Can't say that word very well. Canal. Doesn't matter. To celebrate the...
You're trying to say canal?
Canal.
Yeah?
My brain wants to say canal, but it's... I have to always stop and think, and I'm like, when I say it right, I'm like, wait, is that the right... You know what I mean? I've got myself...
So your brain's more inclined to anal than it is to can.
I guess so, yeah. Oh, that is going to help me so much. Can. Yes. Canal. Yeah.
People do it with my name. They'll ask me and I'll give them the pronunciation that's correct. And then they'll be like, okay. And then they'll bring me on stage. They'll be like, your next act, anal. Jai Mana.
Well, let's go through the answers. No, hang on. Fucking hell, I've lost it. All right, here's question number six. What was the strange name of the local dentist serving Pickaway, Ohio from 1922 to 1946? And I've put doctor at the front because that's what he was. Dr. Banked Tooth. Dr. Matt Stewart.
No, but it might be the reason it was sent in.
Mm. True.
Because it's not necessarily mine.
Yeah. Like the Bob Ross quote.
Yeah.
Dr. Dan Twist the Dentist, Dr. Strom Carlborg, Dr. Grug Donkin, or Dr. Gay Hitler?
Wait, a new contender has emerged for Annie's answer. I mean, Lena's
answer.
There
is an improv thing. No, but... All of a sudden, I'm just hugely problematic.
You did that to me. I know your name.
Your name Annie and Lena?
There is an improv theory that when you are teaching people how to heighten improv scenes, so sorry that I'm talking about this, end up...
Improv's not cool.
I'm aware, okay. But I also play video games for a job, so my bar is really strange. But there is a theory that you can only heighten to a certain point and all of it leads to... gay Hitler, which is why that's a compelling answer for me, because you can't. There's no way you can go after that.
Yeah,
yeah. And then I think someone did that character on SNL.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you though?
Yeah. Why not?
It does seem like a good offer.
Mm.
All right.
Could you read them again?
Yes, Dr. Banked Tooth, Dr. Matt Stewart, Dr. Dan Twist, the dentist, Dr. Strom Karlborg, Dr. Grug Donkin, or Dr. Gay Hitler?
Oh, no. None of them is the answer. Is it? Is it possible? Is this the one where there's none of them?
This is why we had to go to 1922 Pickaway, Ohio to find this name, you know.
And I'm just imagining them all in, like, the zoo in their enclosures. I think it's Grug
Donkin.
Grug, I'm sorry, I didn't want to mispronounce it. I mispronounced the word mispronounce. So that was the stakes.
I'm going to go the first one because I think they're all wrong. Thank you. Finished.
Banged tooth.
Yeah.
Okay. Answer.
How do you spell tooth? Tell me how you spell
tooth. T-O-O-F.
All right. That does sound pretty not right.
First name Banked. B-E-N-G-T.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Is there a tooth that was phonetic spelling of Grug Donk?
G-R-U-G-D-O-N-K-E-N.
Oh, well, we all know there's two G's in at the end of Grug.
Yeah, that's true.
It's G-R-U-G-G.
I've made a mistake. Yeah. It feels like the one that sounded like a jingle could be... I've already guessed.
Not too late to change.
Which one?
Dr. Dan Twist, the dentist.
Mm.
But it was... That's for me.
Okay. I think, unfortunately, I would like it to be Matt Stewart, but I do think... It was Linus.
I might be metagaming, okay?
You might be.
Actually, true. Well, someone sent it in for a reason.
Yeah, like that's a good reason.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dr. Matt Stewart.
Wow. Yes?
Yep. Thanks. Because I didn't like Dan Twist, the dentist.
You didn't like him?
Personally.
All right. So everyone's locked in?
Are we? Sure.
No, everyone's changed.
No, I am. I don't.
Everyone's changed already.
I don't like any of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go through who wrote the answers. Dr. Dan Twist, the dentist. That was Claire Hooper.
I nearly got you.
Almost.
I jumped
so close.
Off.
Got you.
I got by leader, I think.
The first one Claire sent through was Hewers. Hewers. Is that what you meant? Is that the joke you were going for?
I don't know what I was going for.
I thought it was like someone saying whores, like in a real posh voice. Hewers. Like smoking a...
I was working on something. It doesn't matter. Don't ask me.
And the other character.
I was going to send through Kane Ines. You know, I had some ideas. Anyway, continue.
Okay, well, I was taking it to a different place, and I thought, interesting one from Claire. Hewers. Dr. Strom Karlborg. That was Saran.
I thought someone would guess that.
That felt believable.
Yeah, it sounded believable, but also not newsworthy enough.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dr. Banked Tooth. That was Megan, aka The House.
Mm. Megan? That one. I love it. Also, I didn't even believe it, but I love it.
Lena went for Dr. Grug Donkin, which was also The House.
Oh, it's not Gay Hitler. It's Gay Hitler.
There's no way.
No, it's not
it's
Gay
Matt
Hitler.
Stewart.
Dr. Matt Stewart's round went for that. It was Lena. The correct answer is Dr. Gay Hitler.
Is it gay with an E?
I don't think so. I think isn't that wild?
I guess Hitler is a surname.
But it is also pre-Hitler.
Yeah, the Hitler family were really big in the 1700s, and they set up this town, apparently. And there's, you still go there, and there's like Hitler Road, Hitler Cemetery, Hitler Park. And all stuff.
Wow.
And the guy's dad, Gay Hitler's dad's name was George Washington Hitler.
Now you're just saying names of what kids call each other in Fortnite.
I'm worried I've fallen for it, but it was from New York Magazine.
Wow.
It feels like it's a believable
thing. No, I believe
So, we're up to the final question now. Triple points up for grabs.
Oh, I hate this. I hate this bit, and I hate the whole, now the game could be anyone's.
All the stuff you've earned from before this doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know
what? No, it still counts.
You know that whole hour and 15 of your life? It didn't matter. Actually, you could have just done without it.
It actually did matter. It all counted, and this bit counts as well. just counts a little bit more. The question comes from Ben Brufflett from Cumberland Gap in Tennessee. in what he calls the shitty old US of A. And the question is, what is the synopsis of the 2002 film Ankle Biters? What's the synopsis of the 2002 film Ankle Biters? So we'll probably write about two or three sentences
ankle
here.
Ankle Biters?
Ankle Biters. And while you're writing those answers, let me tell you more about Gay Hitler. According to Megan, she heard this mentioned on an old episode of this show and wasn't sure if anyone complied with my wishes to submit this name for a question. I don't remember that happening, amazingly, but apparently his name's come up before. Anyway, according to Jonathan Chait, writing for NY Mag, Pickaway, Ohio is a town filled with things named after Hitler. Hitler Road, Hitler Ludwig Road, Hitler Ludwig Cemetery, Hitler Park, among others. In most states, this would be considered scandalous, but since we're talking about Ohio, it merely rises to the local curiosity of moderate interest. He's really having a go here, Jonathan, at the beautiful state of Ohio. The Circleville Herald reports that this is simply because a prominent local family of Hitler's has deep local roots. George Hitler was born on the 15th of May, 1763 in Maryland. He married Susanna Gay in Pennsylvania, and they came to Pickaway with four of their children, John, Catherine, Jacob, and George. The article continues listing the various Hitler spawn and their tedious exploits until stumbling to this unbelievable detail. Dr. Gay Hitler, son of George Washington Hitler, was a local dentist serving our community from 1922 through 1946. And then he goes on to say, what's amazing about this story is not just the information it contains, but the completely deadpan tone. George Washington Hitler was a person. He had a son named Gay Hitler who became Dr. Gay Hitler. This was a real person, Dr. Gay Hitler in Ohio until 1946. And then Jonathan Chait finishes his little article here by saying, this story brings into question what lies at the heart of this series of articles. What is the problem with this state? And it brings it closer to a resolution by suggesting a simple theory. Ohio was settled by Hitlers. It doesn't sound like he likes Ohio much, which I think is a bit rough. God's country itself. All right, the answer in. Final question. What is the synopsis of the 2002 film Ankle Biters? When a Dachshund breeder goes missing in mysterious circumstances, Detective Grog Duncan is forced not only to solve the crime, but also to take in the tiny rapscallions. There's only one problem. His pet cat, Muff Muff. Over time, Grog and Muff Muff grow quite fond of the little ankle biters. The breeder's whereabouts are still not known to this day. A twist revealed in text moments before the end credits. What a disappointing end.
Also, like, the synopsis to include the end credits. This is amazing.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I just watched the whole movie in my head.
Who could have written that?
Option two, an unfortunate accident has severe consequences as Hamlet De Niro's life is flipped on its head. Thanks to court-mandated community service, Hamlet is forced to serve his community service at a dog rescue. Though he's slow to warm up to the canine companions, Hamlet begins to bond with the rescue dogs over time, especially one ankle-biting chihuahua named Spartacus. When the city threatens to shut down the dog rescue due to a clerical oversight, Hamlet does everything he can to save his furry friends, all while learning a little bit about himself along the way. It's beautiful.
Right.
Nerdy high schooler Greta has one last chance to lose her virginity before going to college and give herself a new legacy beyond the socks she was bullied for wearing to her cheerleading tryouts. Anyway, the guy's name is Matt Stewart, and he's a dentist. I would have saved that for last if I knew it was going to have a fun twist. A small town is overrun by short, ankle-biting, blood-sucking vampires. Mm. Things get complicated when the vertically challenged coffin creepers get their itty-bitty hands on a sword with the blood of the last slain tall vampire. With this relic, they can create a super race of shack-sized Draculas out of any tall human. Now the half-vampire, half-human Drexel is the town's and the world's only hope to stop this countryside invasion of the mini-demons. There are no short fixes to this tall problem. That's option four. Two more. In this movie adaptation of the erotic thriller of the same name, Felicity Diamond is enjoying her rise to model stardom as the first female model to advertise for Crocs, the latest in fashion footwear. Unfortunately, fame comes with a cost. Felicity soon finds herself on the receiving end of messages from a stalker who obsesses over her foot photos. When she finally confronts her obsessive fan, she learns that there may be more to him than meets the eye. Well, finally, At Our Lady of Mercy Orphanage, a room full of infants accidentally fed milk contaminated with lamb's blood during a full moon. Over one long night, the nuns are picked off one by one by the resulting demon babies, leaving only Mother Superior to destroy them all. Okay, so very briefly, you got Detective Grug Donkin.
Okay.
Something to do with it.
Why is that a detail you'd pick out?
Sorry, Ian. You got the Dachshund Breeder one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you've got the one with Hamlet De Niro, who learns a little bit about himself along the way.
Well, wouldn't you?
You would. You've got nerdy high schooler Greta, who has one last chance to lose her virginity. You've got a small town being overrun by short, ankle-biting, blood-sucking vampires. And then you've got the erotic thriller about crocs. And then you've got the orphanage that creates blood-sucking demons because of...
I think it's that one.
Locking that in for Lena.
I hate all of these.
I hate all of them.
2002, not a great time for cinema.
No.
That's true.
Mm. I really liked the vampire one until there was the, like... Until they named Drexel, and I was like, oh, it's too much, isn't it?
I actually went to college at Drexel University
in
Philadelphia. Just a fun fact about me.
That is a cool fact, though. Right? That's cool. Yeah. I'm not saying the word Drexel doesn't exist.
I only know it as a dragon or a university.
Mm.
So what you're saying tracks for me.
Best picture that year was won by A Beautiful Mind. So.
Okay.
It didn't win.
I also felt like the language in that one was
too silly.
Yeah.
It was really silly getting their tiny little hands.
Yeah, tiny little hands felt like...
But it does feel like the most actual movie. Mm. No, does it? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they're all terrible.
Yeah, but these are all like... The movies that we pick have to be obscure, sort of low budget.
Mm.
I think of the two horror ones, the orphanage feels more like a movie. Like tiny little vampires.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, they're both basically tiny little vampires, aren't true. They?
I was working on a piranha's angle, but I couldn't remember where they were in the world.
That's fair.
And I knew it was just going to out me.
So you outed yourself with... Oh, no, I won't.
What makes you think you know what mine is?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It could be someone framing me.
Yep.
The second one's that learns a bit about himself along the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is...
That felt very similar to the first movie. It just didn't have a Grug Donkin reference.
I think it had a worse name, Hamlet De Niro.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'm really struggling with all of them, so... I go the vampires.
All right.
They're all really bad.
I'm going to go the...
Well, I believe this movie might be bad.
That's fair.
Hamlet De Niro for me.
You got Hamlet De Niro? Okay.
2002 feels like the kind of time when they would tell you...
someone Hamlet De Niro.
Yeah, and they'd let you know someone learned to be through the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is that true. Feels like they would put
that's
on
that's definitely
there.
A 90s thing. Yeah. 2002 is basically the 90s.
It is.
Personal growth was huge in movies then.
A little bit about not too much. All right. Here's who wrote the answers. The erotic thriller about croc wearing model.
Okay, that wasn't real.
That was Ben, the question writer, aka The House.
Mm, great.
Ben also wrote Hamlet De Niro.
Well done, Ben.
So a point for The House there. Saran wrote the one about the Dachshund Breeder. And some reason included the Detective Grug Donkin in there. As if he likes to self-sabotage. the one about nerdy high schooler Greta. Anyway, the guy's name is Matt Stewart. And he's a dentist. That was Lena.
I was taking ages and I got self-conscious.
Is that not self-sabotage?
Is not my entire performance of this podcast.
But you guys have both shamed me for actually trying.
It was intimidating how quickly and well you did that.
Well, and that makes sense because, Lena, you did pick Claire's The Orphanage.
Oh, but it does sound like a good movie.
It
does. It just sounds like
a Netflix movie. You know, they just
for sure. It's an orphanage, and it's obviously shock horror. But this idea, a little demon ankle biter.
Yeah, 100%. It's great.
It was the best.
Let's
do it.
And it's definitely better than the real one, which you guessed correctly. It was about short vampires.
Oh my god, that sounds like a terrible movie.
They mentioned Shaq in that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Shaq-sized. Yeah, it's terrible.
As a scale of reference. Is well, that
but,
what that,
but that yeah, does, he that, was the scale
that
of
does
reference.
Check out for 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
You know, that was a real, what, like... That was when you were using Shaq for a measurement.
Yeah, that is how I measured like, most of my, like...
We got a caravan. And this is yeah, a... we got a new caravan. It fits four Shaqs.
That's you know, the actual...
Yeah. We'll show you the room. It's 1x2 Shaqs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I because sometimes, like, Ben could have written that and rewritten it after seeing, but that is the actual... That's what was put out as
Man,
the synopsis
that is
of the
wow.
film.
Terrible.
Including all but that also, writing that you thought was too much.
I mean, it is, it was, but it's the 2000s. So, yeah.
All right, so I'll just set up the scores. But while doing that, let me quickly tell you about the film. According to Ben, the film has no critical reviews. That's how you know they've done pretty well. Couldn't even get a critic to watch it. But
yeah, but you know what? They got it made, and I have not got a movie. Yeah. So, like, I'm all like, that sounds like a terrible movie, yes. But I'm still like, they got that made.
Oh, yeah, I still, I mean.
That had a production great schedule. Work. I had like a costume department.
Yeah, people thought about that.
Right?
Some of those people probably went on to make other films.
It's like that John Mulaney bit about he's just impressed that they're able to get a budget together.
Mm.
He's like, people making a movie, I can't believe they even got $100 million or whatever. I'd be impressed to see. It's a great bit that I'm doing very good justice to. Apparently the audience gave it 38% approval, which is higher than many. And the writer, director, star is Adam Minarovich and... Ben also says, I can only assume his castmate, Catherine Minarovich, is no longer related to him after appearing in this movie. But yeah, it sounds like it was a real family affair sort of.
Daughter emancipation.
Yeah. Writer, director, star is always a good sign, I think. Mm.
Yeah,
that's
like
an auteur.
Real, yeah. Room style scenario.
That's the only way my movie's going to be made.
on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll play one of their kids. The orphanage.
You're going to be the Mother Superior, babe.
Oh, great. Okay.
All right. Final scores. In fourth place, scoring a point way back at round one, it was Sarenjai Mana.
That's, yeah. Feels, I forgot that I even scored a point.
In third place on 2 points, it's Lena Moon.
I'll take it. Thank you so much.
But it was a sweet period of the game.
Oh, honestly, I've... Could not be prouder of myself.
In second place on 8 points, it's The House.
But oh.
Out in front, ooh. Way out in front on 13 points, it's Claire Hooper.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
That's the triple points for you. Sometimes it goes your way.
Yeah, it went my way.
And Claire, so people can find you, your podcast, which will have an episode coming out
at some
point.
That's where I got Matt Stewart, the very Matt Stewart. It sounds like I'm just writing a podcast spiel that Lena Moon's invented to win a game. But my podcast has Matt Stewart on it.
Wait, you got the tree from the Bob Ross?
The tree. The tree dentist.
The podcast is called I'm the Worst.
And your show coming up around Australia.
Yeah, that's right. So proud. If you're in Perth, that's where I'm kicking off.
And Lena, where can people find you?
You can watch my Twitch, which is just Lena Moon, but also Annie and Lena, we're doing a festival show. Please follow our Instagram. It gets rejuvenated once a year for us to plug our comedy festival shows. So please, yes, follow that.
And Saran?
Yeah, I'll be in Perth. I am in Perth right now with Matt Stewart of podcast Notoriety. Not to be confused with Matt Stewart from that movie that Lena wrote.
The one where Greta...
Greta.
She's embarrassed about her socks. we're doing a show called Dryer Dryer at Fringe World. Please come down. Check it out. We'll be in Adelaide as well and Melbourne later in the year.
And Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Hang around to hear the outtakes. I can't remember what there was, but there was a long discussion about something that will definitely be there. And thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. Give us a 5-star review if you want to. No pressure, but it'd be nice if you did. Tell someone who might enjoy it about it. As well as definitely check out Claire's show this week because I'm going to tell her something bad I did. Cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
These games, I already have enough. spirals on a normal day, and then you sit me down, you go, hey, which one's pretend, which one's fake? I'm gonna gaslight you. Like, make you believe things that aren't true and make you kind of go down the path of, well, no, it could be a fun name for the frog. It's not the scientific name. It could be a casual name for the frog. Don't be stupid, Lena, that's not right, it's the other frog. That's what's happening.
Yeah, sorry to do that to you. Thanks for doing it. No, it's
a tough game for someone with an imagination.
But you're also perfectly suited to it.
All six possibilities become real in the moment that you're saying them.
Yeah.
So many of them are so ridiculous as well. It's like, which one of these ridiculous things is real?
They all could be. And in that moment, the universe splits into six and you live in all of the universes.
Yeah, that's right.
Totally.
And they look at you in, because I'm picturing like, that I do have an imagination. I'm picturing like the enclosures in the zoo, right? The little like glass, you know, and you're like, that one's cute. And they're like, oh, I can't actually see that one. Maybe they're cleaning the tank. Like, I don't know if that one's in there. You know, that every time you go.
You're rubbing like, this in the Saran because he doesn't have a
I don't have a mind's eye.
Oh, my sister doesn't have
that. Which
would
kill me because I.
What? Some people can't see pictures in their brain.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, Saran was only telling me that this week.
What? But...
Oh, and this will be interesting because when he told me, I asked him two questions and he said, that's the first question everyone asked. And I asked him another question. He said, that's the other question. And you just asked the first question I asked.
Which is, how do you dream?
Yes. Well, I can't remember what the other question was. Do you have any other questions?
What bit of your brain is missing?
I can't see it to tell you. But, no, I think it's quite normal. I looked it up.
Can you imagine your own? Can you imagine looking at your own back?
What is I can think about my own back, but I don't see it.
What's crazy is you can't, but I can imagine
your back. Yeah. But let me tell you, it doesn't help you to not have this ability in this game. I was equally perplexed by trying to which frog. It
true.
Is. The swoop and droop.
Aphantasia? Is that what
that's
it's
what
called?
It's called? Yeah.
What was the second question?
Thank
everyone
you,
asked?
Internet.
How do you do it?
How do you sleep at night? Yeah. How do you dream? How do you?
How do you sleep? What?
Can't dudes are always does that obsessed mean you have with
oh.
How do you masturbate?
I didn't ask that, actually. I didn't ask that one, did I? That would have been wild. I don't remember that you asked it. I don't think I did ask it's that.
Yeah, because so many men are using their imagination to masturbate.
Have you heard of the internet?
So no, but sorry, just but does that mean that your memories are without vision?
Yes. Yeah.
So when a thing is
and my imagination, both memories and imagination.
Yeah, I get the okay.
So what's happened to people when I've had this conversation with them is you give them an example of like, okay, so imagine an apple. You can imagine an apple in your head, and sometimes people are like, I can't, and then they find out that they also
that's
have
very
it.
Similar to how I found it. Yeah. My partner asked me to imagine a horse.
And that was that?
Yeah, I couldn't. But she was doing some personality tests where she asked everyone. And apparently what the horse is doing, what color it is, it tells you about the person, what they see. And concluded I have no personality. But that's...
of all the people in this room, I have the most to lose from a further digression. But can you please... can you... Please, I'm so sorry. But so if a thing has happened to you, you can't recall the vision of the thing that has happened to you.
Yeah, I can recall.
So like 5 minutes ago is gone.
Yeah.
It's an audio soundtrack only.
Yeah. And or feelings.
Does that like make the room feel much fresher to you than it does to us who have the 5 minutes
this,
ago visual?
Yeah, in this heat, no. But
yeah, it is pretty muggy.
Matt's just reached for the air conditioning. yeah, I don't know. It hurts my brain to think about it.
Is it? I mean, it's got a definition on the internet. Is it something that people are like, you can develop it? You know, the way, you know, people can wiggle one ear and they're like...
I have looked into this. So one forum I looked at was like, oh, you probably have some trauma that you happened in your past and it was so bad that you've blocked out the ability to remember. And then another forum was like...
it's that one.
Yeah. Well, the other forum was like, you are spiritually advanced. So that's the one I chose to subscribe
you get
to.
Pick.
Yeah, you get to pick the belief. And but then they were talking about, in that forum, they were talking about some people had like used psychedelics and stuff to try to activate it.
Because I've got the memory stuff, but that's just roaring ADHD. So, you know, we can line up on that.
Memory's
stuff
overrated, there. Though. Yeah. I think.
Okay, what would happen if you took DMT, though? Because that's all about the pictures. You, like, that's entirely imagination, right?
Yeah.
It's the worst really trip.
But I do dream, and so I guess it would be similar.
It sounds
to that.
Like you've been lying to us this whole time. Next question.
Sinking droop, red-footed bark frog, great Rodney Marsh frog, Pobblebonk, quirky boys, southern Borogong blue.
Well, I'm trying to picture them at the zoo and none of them are there.
Were any of you Weird Al fans growing up or now?
Yeah. Like as much as you can be, you know.
Well, no, there's definitely a spectrum. And Evan Munro-Smith, who was on last week, he's at the pointy end of the spectrum.
Huge fan. I mean, look.
He ran away from home to see him play live when he was 17.
That's an incredible story.
So great.
I was a delinquent at 17 sneaking out to see Modest Mouse and Evan Munro-Smith.
Yeah, what?
Slipping out his window to see Weird Al.
So great.
But also, you didn't say that he just snuck out for the concert. He ran away from home. He was too ashamed to go back.
Yeah, his parents are like, we will not hear another parody song in this house. And he's like, I'm getting out of here. Runs down the, you know, hallway and other places in a house that he ran out of.
I think, yeah, it's no, hot, you're right. Man, he didn't run away for good. He did go home again.
Okay.
But it was also to see him in Canberra. So he caught a bus in
that
his state.
Wild. Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, that's wild.
But it
what
also
I
means...
want to know is why were his parents putting their foot down?
Yeah.
let the boy live his dream. Mm.
Imagine being like, I'm against, like, there are like metal bands and like all these sort of like, or like even like pop songs where people are like the artists that it's too gratuitous and all that sort of stuff. But they're like, I'm Weird Al is where I draw the line. We won't have silliness in this household. And Evan's the most serious person I know, so that makes sense.
Pop music is sacred. Mm. If you're going to parody it, it's not for me.
Yeah, they just love the originals. Yeah, that's wild.
He's not even writing the music.
Wow, that would be handy for Saran, who wouldn't be able to remember this moment, but Claire just sent me a photo of moments ago.
Do you know that fear where all your friends have a group chat without you? I feel like I'm witnessing what that would feel like.
Okay.
Okay, what?
It must be fun getting to see all the answers, Matt.
Yeah.
Is that fun?
Do you want one day me to run the game so you can play it?
That'd be fantastic.
Let's do it.
So, I mean, I don't think I'd be very good at it, but it would be fun. At least I know now. It would be good probably to see the other side of it. Because
see it for what it is.
It does seem to make people feel more anxious than I mean it to.
No, but also like you should screaming. See Claire's offer for what it is, which it's less altruistic, I think, than she made it out to
I'll come
it.
Back, but don't make me do this again.
I think she hates playing the game.
The problem with it is then you'd have to put all the questions together and stuff, and there's a bit of work involved there, you know, because I wouldn't be able to see.
That's okay, yeah. No, I realise you do a lot more prep than most podcast hosts, but I could do it once.
I'll take you up on that for sure.
Okay.
All right, the answer is...
Keep your ears out, listeners.
I'm hot partially because the room's hot, but also because I'm feeling the pressure that Lena's not having a good time.
No, I'm having a great time. I'm just being silly.
I know, but I'm still, part of it gets through and I'm sweating. That has happened to me in the past because it reads as Jayamana, but it's Jayamana. And then for a little while, I was going, no, I think it's Jayamana because it's Jayamana. No, it's... I think it's dry money.
Yeah, exactly.
You double block yourself.
When you have ADHD, you can't ever trust your brain. And I do that to every person. I second guess every single conversation and person I see. It's a problem. It's like you're like, you know the name. I forgot my best friend's name in common. Then you stall. You're like, this is my... So if you're ever around me and I give a lot of detail about someone before I say their name, that's me desperately trying to remember their name, even if they're, like, in my life.
Oh man, consistently. I do. Yeah, that is brutal.
Yeah. So this is my best friend and we write comedy together and we've gone on tour and it's Annie. This is Annie.
Man.
That's how that goes.
Yep.
Do you remember my name?
Claire.
She did it.
But I didn't stall. Whereas the host of the podcast, this is my friend, he's the host of the podcast. He's asking us questions.
Who knew Matt Stewart?
Ah, Matt Stewart.
Oh, sorry, I was just saying. Whoa, sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Matt, everyone.
I've got all your names on here, and I need it sometimes. It's wild. I'm like, oh my God.
When I used to be a camera assistant, one of the tricks that the DP would get me to do was I would have to write all the actors' names on tape on the camera on the side so that they would be able to. These were like famous people.
Yes.
Which is wild to me.
I have that so much. MCing shows is the worst. I write names of good friends on my hand.
Yeah. Well, you never know what's going to happen.
And I'm always embarrassed that, you know, I'm trying to rub it off. You know, you're chatting to them after that. Why the?
Yeah. What
name? I was worried I was going to forget you. Yeah.
Adrenaline is a powerful thing.
Oh, Claire, I don't think we said at the start, but what's your new show this year?
Do you want to do that plug without all the clunking and the pouring? No? Okay, that's all I get. That's fine. It's cool.
Sorry, Claire, we didn't mention you're doing a national tour.
I refuse to let
tour.
You edit that out. Yeah. I've got a new show. It's called So Proud. And I'll be doing a lot of great... I'll do Perth, Canberra, Adelaide, Melbourne. Don't know if there'll be... You know, like hopefully get to Brisbane and Sydney as well, but I haven't got the plans in place yet.
Yes.
Yeah. What are you doing? You're doing most of those.
I'm doing a show with Saran. We're just doing like a new material.
Drier.
Split show, Drier. Figure something out
Maybe we'll just do a three-person show in Sydney.
I think that'd be great.
That'd be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Me and Saran will we'll do the opening five. You do an hour and we'll come up on stage and wave at the end.
I love it. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll all hold hands and take a bow. Yeah. That is not done enough in comedy.
No. Yeah.
It should be more collegiate, I think.
The road shows, they do it a little bit.
Yeah, and everyone complains, actually.
No, you can't go home to your motel and watch TV. You've got to stay around till the end, hold hands with Greg Fleet and bow.
Any of the benefits of going on first are all lost.
Yeah, that's right.
You go take the bullets. You also get to go to bed early.
You feel so silly, don't you? You're like, I was on an hour ago. You've forgotten who I am. Here I am waving. Anyway.
I'm trying again, I promise. And Matt's laughing because he's seen what I've put in.
That's you trying?
Yeah. I'm really worried about it. What's interesting is you submit your answer and then you look at Matt and you're like, well, I didn't get it right.
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing. Yeah, because I panic when that occasionally happens.
Yeah.
can you...
could you actually...
It happened one time. Maggie Luke got sent in the right answer.
That makes sense.
And she didn't realize... She thought she was being inspired by a real thing that was the wrong answer.
Oh, really?
And I'm looking at her like... Don't fuck the game. And she's like, what are you talking about? And it was really confusing because I'm like, can you just write someone else? She's like, why?
Yeah, why should I do that? Yeah.
It was...
Oh, that's so funny.
That's quite a moment. I think it all ended up staying in the edit, but it was confusing in the room. Again, just waiting for Saran. I'm so sorry about Saran, everybody. Just throwing you under the bus. This show is normally really quick. it's so fun. Every time Claire comes on, I promise her that it'll be quicker next time, and it never is. I think
you have to let her host. She'll steamroll.
I'll show you how to do things.
People get 5 seconds to submit their answers. You get half sentences and...
All right, I'll read out the answers. All we have is the correct answer this time. Yeah. Because nobody made the deadline. And that is how you make it quicker.
All right, question number five.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.